T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to the Andy Fry Show. Good to be with you. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/AndyFryShow. We are joined now by Budget and Tax Director Adam Schuster with the Illinois Policy Institute. Adam, it's great to talk to you again.
Great to talk to you.
So let's talk about the status of the progressive income tax that J.B. Pritzker's been trying to push through. Where does it stand right now?
Well, there's a lot of movement on the issue this week. So the first thing to know is that it passed through the House Revenue and Finance Committee on Monday, 9-6 on a party line vote. And there were rumors up to literally 10 minutes ago that it might be called today.
Wow.
for a full vote on the House floor. We're still uncertain exactly what's going to happen. Things can change at any minute in Springfield, but the most recent news we've heard is that it won't be called today. So it could be any minute, could be within the next couple days, or not at all. they kind of run their own schedule down there.
So how many votes do they need in the House to pass it?
They need 71 votes in the House. They have 74 Democrats in the House.
And two dissenting so far?
Well, it's a little complicated. So all Republicans are against it. So they would need 71 of the 74 Democrats. Two Democrats, Representative John Carroll and Sam Yingling, both came out against it, said they were going to be no votes. Now it gets a little more complicated because Jonathan Carroll voted for it in committee on Monday.
Hmm.
When he voted for it, he said, I'm voting to send this to the floor because I think it deserves full debate, but that doesn't mean I'll be a yes vote on the floor. So he's kind of still a little wishy-washy, based on that. So I think, really the message for your listeners and for taxpayers around the state is to keep up the pressure.
Well, we have Monica Bristow and Katie Stewart sitting right across the river in districts in the Metro East, as well as Nathan Reitz, who replaced Jerry Costello, who was also a no vote as a Democrat here in Southern Illinois, and Hoffman as well, and Latoya Greenwood. They all deserve to be heard, to be listening to their constituents, and these votes make a big difference. That's why the 2018 election made a big difference in how the future of Illinois is going to be shaped under this new governor. And I think that making sure that people get their calls in now, as soon as possible, is very, very important, especially right now. And have you seen, we haven't heard from any of these other Democratic reps down here, at least I haven't. They haven't come out and spoken in favor or against it. Is there pressure on them right now to not necessarily go all in or to speak out that they're against it?
Well, they're kind of caught between two competing forces here, right? On the one side, there's taxpayers, demanding that they vote no, demanding that they take a stance and be honest and, stop giving these wishy-washy, middle-of-the-road answers and just, take a stand and stick with it. And so that's the bottom-up pressure they're getting. We know that they've been getting tons of emails, tons of phone calls. People have been showing up at their town halls telling them that they don't want this. But on the other hand, they've got this billionaire governor who's pressuring them because this is a cornerstone of his legislative agenda. I appreciate that you bring up these downstate members, Stewart, Bristow, Reitz, because they are particularly important, and particularly they should be the ones voting against this. We touched on this a little bit when we did the taxpayer rally together in Collinsville, but when they say that a vote for it isn't them saying that they're in favor of it, it's just them putting on the ballot, that's nonsense. That's an excuse. And what it really is, if they're putting it on the ballot, they're taking away the voice of downstate.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, downstate voters have a voice through their representatives. You have a representative in Springfield, and that's your chance to say no, to tell Springfield that you don't want this. But once it's put on the ballot, Chicago is the only one who has the voice.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because the majority of voters are in Chicago. So when it comes to a statewide election, that's who's going to ultimately decide the issue. So, if you're in one of those districts, Bristow, Stewart, Reitz, tell them that you don't want to put this on the ballot and let Chicago decide for the entire state whether we're going to scrap our constitutionally guaranteed flat tax.
So I called my representative, Katie Stewart, and when I spoke with her office, I was told to that there's a lot of false information out there and that the right information was available at J.B. Pritzker's website. So that's what people who are going to call, who are hearing us talk now, and then they're going to call their representative and hear them have the opportunity to hear what their representative's staff has to say about this. They told me that it was not going to raise taxes on middle income and low income people. And I was told personally by the staffer that I talked to on the phone that it was actually going to get her another $300 in her pocket. And then I was also told, as you just mentioned, that this isn't actually a budget for or against. It diminished the importance of what these representatives, the responsibility that they have in Springfield right now to their constituents. This isn't a vote to be for the progressive income tax or against it. Our representative just feels as though maybe you might want to have the actual say in this. So those are the things that I heard personally when I called my representative's office. What is your response to those scenarios that if when we get off the phone here talking with each other and they go to call their representatives, they could hear some things very similar to that?
Well, I'll take the second one first, if you don't mind, because that one just infuriates me beyond all belief. I mean, that is a complete abdication of their job, of their responsibility. They're sent to Springfield to represent you, to represent the taxpayers in their district, and they're kicking the can and basically saying that they're not going to take a stance. If they vote yes, they are voting for the progressive income tax, period. They are voting to put that on the ballot when there's alternative things that could be on the ballot instead that people want and that would improve the state. I've talked about these before, but, you know, a constitutional amendment to allow pension reform, a true balanced budget amendment, a spending cap, term limits, redistricting reform, and you can only have three constitutional amendments on the ballot during any single general election. So at the very least, they're saying that one of those things cannot be on the ballot by voting for this. And like I said previously, they're also giving an outsized voice to Chicago. It's their job, the reason they are paid, the reason they are sent to Springfield, is to decide on issues like this. And, you know, telling you that they're not going to make a decision is not an acceptable answer.
Yeah, it's abdicating their responsibility.
Hard yes or no.
Yeah.
100%. 100% abdicating their responsibility. As for whether it would go up for the middle income, I frankly think a lot of lawmakers are being lied to about what this plan does and what the future of the state of Illinois is going to look like after this. Fundamentally, what this is about is whether lawmakers in Springfield, politicians in Springfield, should have more power, greater latitude over your income tax rates. Because right now, the flat tax is a protection, because if they want to raise income taxes, they need to make everybody mad at the same time. And that makes it more likely that they won't win election the next time they're up for election. Mm-hmm. And by enabling them to have the power to charge different groups of people different rates, they can hike taxes one at a time on small segments of the population and avoid that backlash. That's why it's greater power. And, you know, it's fine for me to say this, right? But it turns out it's not just theoretical. That's what has happened in other states who have made this switch. They make the same promise that rich are going to pay more, you're going to pay less, but it means ultimately middle-class tax hikes because they now have the power to hit people one at a time with tax increases. And, you know, even proponents of the plan, they put out this report. I don't know exactly what point they were trying to prove, but this group at the Center on Tax and Budget Accountability, which is an extremely ironic name, put out this report that showed in progressive income tax states, when they do it, when they increase to income taxes, it always almost hits the middle class. So in progressive income tax states over the last 20 years, 30 times they've raised taxes on the middle class, only 10 times on the top, on the high income earners.
Wow.
So a 3-to-1 ratio of middle income tax hikes to tax increases on the rich.
We're speaking with Adam Schuster, the budget and tax director at Illinois Policy Institute, illinoispolicy.org. So let me play devil's advocate here with you for a second, Adam.
Sure.
We have a state that is in financial free fall. The problem is so massive that it has national attention about what could possibly be done with the words bankruptcy being thrown into the discussion. Like, how would a state even pay for or even go through bankruptcy? What does that even look like constitutionally?
Yeah.
So the state is in a massive fiscal crisis. So in order to compensate for the amount of money that it needs to pay its obligations, they got to get more money from somewhere. So we have a pension, a huge, huge pension problem. There's pensioners all over the state of Illinois that are frightened that they are going to have their pension threatened. So if we raise these taxes, if we implement the progressive income tax and it goes in the way J.B. Pritzker says the tax rates, the stuff that you can see on his website, or the things that you've heard from the Democrats who are in the legislature, if they put these six tax brackets in play as they have presented them, then we can solve this pension problem. Then we can take the state of Illinois out of the financial crisis it's in and start working towards success. Is that a wrong statement?
Yes. I'll tell you why. If tax hikes worked, we wouldn't be talking about another one. Mm-hmm. We've had two income tax hikes in the last 8 years. Since those income tax hikes, our annual budget deficits have grown, our backlog of bills has grown, and our pension debt has grown. The reason why is because we're far past the point of diminishing returns for tax increases. We have one of the highest total state and local tax burdens in the country, primarily property taxes, but the state takes a lot of your money too. And, it's at this point driving people out of the state, making it harder for businesses to create jobs here. So there's a smaller base of income for them to tax. So it's past the point where tax increases are actually going to help. It makes our problems worse. It makes it harder for us to balance our budget and pay off our debt because of the harm it does to the economy, because of the people it drives out of the state. And the really important thing to know about this plan, you know, I think it's an incredibly implausible scenario that the rates the governor proposed would ever be enacted, I mean, even for 1 minute. The Senate has already passed its own different rate schedule. The House isn't even considering a rate schedule. They're just going to vote on this constitutional amendment without any rates attached, is what it looks like right now. So they're basically asking for a blank check. But even the rates the governor proposed, if I give him this implausible scenario where those rates take effect, it doesn't raise even enough money to close the structural deficit for a single year.
Oh,
and that means immediately they will be coming for the middle class, okay, immediately. On top of that, he wants to spend billions of dollars of more money than we're already spending. So he's not just trying to close the structural deficit. He also wants to finance all this new spending with this. So the only way they can get the amount of money they want is by coming after the middle class. Now, the problems you laid out are very real. But there are alternative solutions that I know we've talked about before. IllinoisPolicy.org, there's a document called Budget Solutions 2020, how we can structurally reform our spending so that we can balance our budget, pay off our debt, and get to the point where we can cut taxes.
So, Adam, you're saying that we have never taken in more tax revenue from the Illinois taxpayers. Our debt obligations have grown in the midst of never taking in more revenue. And the proposed structure from this governor and the legislature doesn't even address the deficit problems that we've created for ourselves within our legislature because we didn't fund the things appropriately in the first place.
Exactly. And we do not have a revenue problem in this state. They have more than enough money to, you know, meet their obligations. They just don't spend the money wisely. And until they structurally reform spending, until they go after the cost drivers of the budget that are causing these annual deficits, that are causing government spending to grow faster than taxpayers can afford, we're never going to get out of this problem. So what we need to do is draw a line in the sand, tell them no more taxes, and that's the only way to get them to focus on the spending side of the ledger. And we didn't really get a lot of time to talk about this, but the other thing I want to make clear to everybody is if this was about middle-class tax relief, you wouldn't see all these other proposed tax and fee hikes on the other side. So on one hand, he's telling you he's going to raise $3.4 billion, but it's all going to come from rich people. And on the other hand, he's proposed 18 other tax hikes. And when you total up all those tax hikes, it's $6.9 billion. This means, you know, doubling the motor fuel tax, taxing your Netflix, taxing your parking garage, a plastic bag tax, increased cigarette taxes, new taxes on gambling.
Yeah, that's not a tax on the wealthy. That's the opposite of a tax on the wealthy.
Exactly. And the average driver is going to pay over $200 per year if his motor fuel tax goes through, $200 more in motor fuel taxes.
Yeah.
That more than wipes out the phantom savings he's promising from his income tax plan.
Budget and Tax Director Adam Schuster, wonderful information, comes with facts and just breathes those facts so people can actually hear them. Thank you so much. We're going to share
Thank
all this
you.
Information and get people contacting their legislators. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon. Online at illinoispolicy.org. Lots of information there. We will turn this around so that you can share on social media. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.